morning, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, so welcome to a Monday morning, and hope you have your umbrella handy before you head out today, because it is soaking wet out there. It's been raining all morning. It's supposed to rain all week. And I'm told we won't really see the sun again until next weekend, Lauren Tate, so it's going to be a wet week. To say the least.
That's not good stuff.
No. That's not a good way to start the week,
well,
is it?
I guess it's better than snow, isn't it?
That's right. That's the way I'm looking at it.
I mean, rain doesn't stick around. It goes in the ground,
that's right. Goes down the drain. So we have a Monday morning quarterback show, as we always do during the football and basketball seasons. Lauren Tate, you heard his voice. He is here today. We're with you until 11 o'clock today. A busy weekend of Illini sports to cover. Of course, the men's basketball team got a Big Ten win yesterday afternoon in front of a sellout crowd over Nebraska.
You know, that was a really hard-fought game, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Illinois had another one of those dead stretches and then came right out of it and finished with some free throws. And by the way, Nebraska missed some free throws instead of Illinois.
They did, yeah. One out of two, it seemed like, every time.
Yeah. Coleman had two where he made the – usually when they make the first one, they make the second one. Because, you know, it – once you've got it figured out. But he missed the second one twice, and those were key. I mean, every point, because if you get into the final minute or two with a lead, it puts a lot of pressure on the other team.
It does. A big game from LaRon Black. He had 28. We'll hear more from Brad Underwood about his play in just a little bit. Also, the rundown of other Illini Olympic sports over the weekend. Good weekend for women's tennis in particular.
Yeah, I thought it was a good overall weekend for pretty much everybody except for softball, maybe. Mm-hmm. Baseball didn't do so well in the second game, but won the first.
Yep, they had a split. They had to juggle their schedule like two or three different times.
Yes, they did.
Over the weekend, and that can happen this time of year with baseball. Baseball, we'll get into all of that. Of course, spring training is underway for the major league teams, and the sprint to the finish for the Big Ten Conference in basketball begins this week.
Some of those teams are going backwards.
I know.
Ohio State's having some trouble. Purdue's having some trouble and really pulled out a big win yesterday against Penn State. Penn State's good, but they just can't get the big win somehow. Their team is good. They've lost some really close 2 one-pointers and the three-pointer yesterday. They're just a fraction away. I wonder if they're going to make it.
We'll hit on the Olympics a little bit this morning as well. Catherine Reuter is going to join us for about 10 minutes in the next hour. Her course career, well noted here, Champaign Centennial graduate, won a couple of medals in Vancouver back 8 years ago in the short track competition. So we'll visit with her for about 10 minutes just after the top of the hour next hour. But we have our phone lines available, 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. And you can email us talk at WDWS.com. We'll do this show tomorrow morning from East Lansing, Michigan. The Illini team will head out this afternoon, take on the Spartans tomorrow night at 6 at the Breslin Center. So we'll come back with more. We'll get it started. Your phone calls, emails, texts, what's on your mind. We'll cover the Olympics, cover basketball, men's and women's. We can cover NBA. They had the All-Star Games, Team LeBron and Team Stephen going at it. We'll get into that. The National Anthem, you may have heard about that.
Ooh.
We'll continue with more after this on A Penny for Your Thoughts on Monday morning.
Yep.
We are back on A Penny for Your Thoughts on this rainy Monday, and we've got Lauren Tate with us here today. We're talking all things sports-related, of course, with the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. 356-9397 is how you can call us. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and email us talk at WDWS.com. LaRon Black, a career-high 28 points. Last night, or actually yesterday afternoon, in the win over Nebraska.
Jordan flips it ahead to Tijon Lucas. Lucas, left corner, Black, open again for three! And he's red hot! LaRon Black, 7 of 8 from the field. And the Illini lead is back to 6 at 28-22.
Laurent finished 11 of 18. He had a career-high 28. Previous career-high had been 23. You had 12 points from Trent Frazier, 12 points from Kipper Nichols, and you had 8 points from Mark Smith.
Yes.
Here's the inbound to Smith. Left corner, three, and he got it. And he's been making them for a month in practice from that very spot. And he got one in a game, and he buried it on the inbound.
So Mark Smith had a good ball game yesterday.
Yeah.
Second half, anyway.
Yeah, it was basically a case of, I think, Black carrying the team and then everybody else chipping in when they could. Smith made a big three late in the ball game, which they desperately needed. And, you know, then, as I said, they made their free throws, and Trent Frazier hit a good three from the corner. I mean, just enough to – there was something about the Nebraska team that Illinois fit better against them. They didn't have one big guy that could dominate inside, and they didn't have anybody really that could cover a Black on his jump shot. He was getting it off over their heads. So.
And really the only thing that slowed him down in the first half was he was in foul trouble.
That's right.
Two fouls.
But, you know, there are times when Kipper comes in and helps, and there are times when Frazier comes in and helps, and they got along pretty well with a small lineup because they don't have a real center.
And it was interesting because Nebraska started the second half with a zone.
Yeah, and that really hurt Illinois.
It really slowed them down.
You know, didn't you think they just missed a lot of easy, I mean, makeable shots? It just seemed like the ball wouldn't go in there for a while. They weren't hard shots, but they just got into that bit of a slump, probably tightened up a little bit, and then they came out of it.
And they found Black eventually. Lucas started penetrating a little bit against the zone. They finally found Black on a couple of occasions. Under the basket against the zone, and then the three-point shots you mentioned with Smith and Frazier, and then some free throws at the very end.
You know what's unfair about the whole thing? You got one day off, and you have to go to Michigan State.
Yeah, I know.
And they're coming off an unbelievable Northwestern game. I mean, that was incredible. 27 points down, huh?
I think it was the biggest Big Ten comeback ever.
In history.
When you think about that, 27 points down. Against Northwestern, Northwestern just could not score, and every shot they took was contested or a bad shot. And you could almost see the body language.
Yeah, I've mentioned several times, Pardon made two dunks, and going into the final couple of minutes, that was their only baskets in the second half. They hit a three late, and that was it for field goals. They had some free throws, but the field goals, they just couldn't get any.
And you mentioned playing basically every other night now, every other day, leaving today for Michigan State to play on their senior night in East Lansing. Coming off that win over Northwestern, then you come back and play Purdue, who fought off a really good Penn State team last night in West Lafayette.
But it sounds like Vince Carter will not be able to play, right?
Vince Edwards?
Vince Edwards. Mm-hmm. But the other Edwards, the little guy, he's just tearing it up. He's all Big Ten, isn't he?
I would think so. You're going to have at least two guys, I think, from Purdue on that.
Out of five?
On the all Big Ten?
You're going to pick 10?
I suppose if you pick 10, yeah.
Well, what I've seen lately is, people like LaRon Black and people like Happ coming on strong for Wisconsin. I mean, guys on losing teams that you got to think about this a little bit. Palmer's an awful good player for Nebraska. Right. He's had a really good year. And if you go down and
Cook at Iowa.
Yeah, and we forgot about Lynch, right? Lynch was the one that got...
Well, it was Jordan Murphy.
Lynch got kicked off.
Yeah.
Murphy has had a really good, a lot of double-doubles, mm-hmm. but we forgot about him.
Right, because Minnesota's been so bad.
But really. I'm just saying that some of these losing teams, you're going to have to consider their players for all conference, mm-hmm. even though their teams aren't winning.
Who's the coach of the year?
Well, it was Holtman until right now. He didn't look so good against Beilein yesterday, did he?
No, he didn't. And could it be Painter? Is it... I mean, Miles would be in contention, I would think, with what he's done, but I don't know.
I mean, I still think it's, at this point, at this very moment, I would say Holtman, wouldn't you?
I would think so. He would be the leader in the clubhouse.
But the thing is, he's slipping. I mean, he's falling back to the pack here a little bit in recent games. Certainly a bad loss for him. Not a bad loss, but a tough loss for him yesterday.
And I'll tell you what, and John Beilein often gets overlooked, mm-hmm. but his teams just get better and better mm-hmm. and better as the year goes on.
It's
amazing to watch.
He never has guys on the team that can't shoot.
Yeah, you notice that?
Yes.
They all can shoot.
And they can all shoot. I mean, I hear somebody, we're talking about Trice. You know, he's a good player, a junior college player that might sign up with the Illini. And, And they say, well, he can't shoot, but he can do everything else. Well, every time you get a guy who can't shoot, at some point it bothers you. At some point, if they don't have to guard one guy, that means they can overemphasize on other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so I know you'd have to guard anybody in the post. You can't give them layups. But if a guy can't make shots from 15, 16, 17 feet, you can fall off of them. And we've seen that even this year in some cases against Lucas and Williams for Illinois. They're young players, and they are better shooters than they're showing, but right now they're just not making them. It's like I remember Kendall Gill when he came. He couldn't make baskets when he was a freshman, but he got better later.
Derek Harper.
And Smith will get better later.
Sure he will, yeah. Like I mentioned, he in practice, he makes those three-pointers constantly. From that one he made yesterday in the game from the corner, he's making 30 and 35 of those in a row in practice. And so that's
the ability's there. It's just a case of getting his mind right.
Right. I think
And every freshman needs to get their mind right.
That's for sure. All right, let's go to Alan. Hey, Alan, good morning.
Hello, guys. I was at the game yesterday. Boy, what a revolution. Have a game on a Sunday or a Saturday afternoon.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing thought, isn't it?
Yeah. We all try that again time of day. I think that's the reason why we had a good crowd as we did this late in the season.
Yes, sir.
Where we're at. But it was a fun game to watch. And I had real good seats. I was on the floor right behind the Big Ten network people. And I think maybe even Robbie Elmo might have helped us out a little bit.
How did he help?
Yeah. Pardon me?
How did he help?
Okay. Remember we had those two out-of-bounds plays where they reviewed?
Yes.
The second one was going to go to Nebraska, and they went over there and looked at the monitor, and they was over there for a long time. I said, man, they're over there a long time. They're not going to get changed. So one of the referees came back out, and he had the other one go in and take a look.
That's right.
And this referee looked over at the BTN, and Robert Hummel was pointing his finger the Illinois way, jabbing his finger that way.
Well, I'm sure that's why they made the decision then, Alan.
Well, I know it. Yeah, you never know. Anyway,
I know about that one.
But anyway, when they all come back out, they talked a little bit, and finally they decided to go their own way. But, it was just kind of funny to see Hummel do that to a referee, and that referee kind of even nodded his head just a little.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's how that went. It's amazing when you go to the games, you see certain things you never see on TV.
Well, absolutely, yeah. There's a lot going on that doesn't show up on camera.
Especially if you're down close to the floor.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's a whole different viewing point from down there.
And I'm just amazed how big those kids are. Wow. How we did what we did against Nebraska and now rebounding them, I'm just shocked because they're so much bigger and at times athletic. But for whatever reason, we seem to have their number a little bit.
Yeah. I thought the rebounding of Kipper Nichols early was really good. I mean, he was going after everything, and they are not. They don't have anybody that's just overwhelmingly big. They got a lot of big guys, but they're not. They don't have anybody like Wagner of Michigan or, the big guys that Michigan State has. They don't have a Jackson blocking shots back there.
No.
One thing that was different about that game, I wanted to bring this up. We didn't give up so many layups.
That's right.
That's the first time in several games that we haven't given a flock of layups.
That is right.
And that's the difference in the game, in my opinion. When you play a better defense.
I'd still like to have somebody like Chimonga, though.
No, the big guy for Nebraska?
I don't think they get into him near enough. I mean, if they got into him more than that, he would have done a little more damage than he did.
Well, you know what the coach said after the game, don't you? He said that he was trying to get Chimonga out of the ballgame because they scored 11 consecutive points. He said Illinois scored 11 consecutive points because of him. He said he couldn't get him out. He said they'd fouled him and he'd missed the free throws, and they were trying to get him out. And he said, but I don't think he hurt us at all. I mean, he's going to do certain things, but I think he's weak. He's strong physically, but I don't think he's a bonus to the team. Do you?
Is he a freshman?
Oh, I'll look it up.
I can't remember.
I don't know what he is.
I don't think so, but I know he didn't play against us the first game.
Yeah.
In Lincoln. Okay, Alan?
Well, we need somebody that size if we can get one.
Yep.
I mean, if they can play.
Well, that's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, that's it. Yep.
Yep, 356-9397 is where Allen was. Texas, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357. And email us talk at WDWS.com. The Illini out rebounded Nebraska 38-29. Again, LaRon Black with 28 points, a career high in the Illini win. And we'll take a break here. We'll come back with more for you. We'll hear more from Brad Underwood after the break here as we head for the top of the hour as well. Between 9:30 and 10, your comments, your thoughts on the game, the Illini going into this week. Of course, two heavyweights they're facing starting tomorrow night with Michigan State and then Purdue and then at Rutgers. And then the team is planning to stay out east and get ready for the Big Ten tournament in New York City on Wednesday on February the 28th. We will come back with more. Penny for your thoughts. Lauren and I return with your thoughts on a Monday Morning Quarterback Show next. Ryan Barnhart with Lauren Tate, back on a Monday Morning Quarterback Show here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Say it's time to file your taxes. Busey raising awareness of and providing tips to help prevent tax identity fraud. And some of those suggestions include filing early. Criminals will have less time to use your information for a fake return. Secure your Wi-Fi connection. Shred sensitive documents. Lock away secure documents. Monitor your mail. If the employer mailed your W-2 or other documents with financial information, make sure it gets to you when it needs to. Avoid scammers' schemes. By the way, the IRS will never contact you by email, text, or social media. If they need your information, they'll contact you by mail. So just don't fall for that. And a warning sign of tax identity theft is when the IRS denies your tax return, meaning someone's already filed it under your name. Contact the IRS Identity Protection Specialized Units. Close any bank accounts. Contact the major credit bureaus. Pay your taxes and file your return, even if you send it by paper. Remember, the best way to protect yourself from fraud when it comes to all this is to be proactive. If you have any questions, contact the Busey Information Security Center, Busey.com. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY. We are at 51 degrees and wet in downtown Champaign at 927. The Illini get those 28 points from LaRon Black, a career high. Brad Underwood talked to us after the game and about LaRon Black and the team.
Huge night from LaRon. That was our game plan going into this, was to really try to exploit and get him the ball, get him a lot of touches. I think LaRon's game, everybody got to see how it is expanded in terms of handling the ball. He shot a couple off the dribble today. He hit a couple threes. We're really pleased with the way he played. And then I thought Kipper early gave us a tremendous lift. I thought he was very aggressive at both ends of the court. It was a big help. It was a big help seeing him aggressive like that. And then to persevere through a 16-4 run to start the second half. They played zone. We got defensive. We got on our heels. We got a little cautious. We weren't very clean running things, but we kind of got Boog established on the ball. Or on the block, excuse me, got a couple easy baskets. And then late, it was nice to execute and, for the most part, step up and make free throws and be able to put the game away.
Yeah, that zone Illinois threw at Nebraska bothered them,
both
too.
Both of them work. Both zones seems to work for a while. You know, nobody that doesn't use zone like Syracuse all the time, they find out, I think the coaches have this feeling that I don't really want to do this, but I think it might work. Then when you make a few baskets against, they switch out. They tend to do that. Have you noticed that? They don't really want a zone, but if it's working, they'll do it.
356-9397 is how you can reach us on the phones. You have any texts you want to send our way, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357. And email us talk at WDWS.com. Mark Smith played quite a few minutes, including down the stretch. And here's the coach on Mark.
I can't say how proud I am of Mark. I really challenged Mark Smith in a timeout. I spent a majority of the timeout challenging him from the defensive standpoint. And I said, are you going to make one? He said, yep. And sure enough, he jumps up there and makes it. Mark hasn't been always pleased with the way he's played. But, man, we saw a little bit of tonight, and I think this will be a breakout. I told him I think he's going to have a huge end of the season, and his confidence was tremendous, and he keeps working and fighting and getting better on the defensive end. Got a big rebound late.
On the defensive end is where he has struggled. The other thing that the coach has talked about, and this play kind of exemplified that, was the scramp for the loose ball on a missed shot where you had bodies all over the deck. He had talked about this in the shoot-around, about playing for your teammate, hustling for your teammate, this play kind of symbolized that, I think.
Illinois up by one, 53-52. A little more pep in the step here. Left wing Smith against the Nebraska zone. Right wing, here is Frazier. Back to Lucas. Down the lane, inside, off the shoulder of Reboigbedee with a pass. Back to Frazier. Now to Smith. Lost the handle. 10 on the shot clock. Ibu gets it back. Boy, they're scrapping all over the floor. Smith trying to save it. We got bodies on the deck to Frazier for three. Oh. And he missed it. Oh, that would have brought the house down. Foul on the rebound. Oh, the Illini had bodies all over the deck. And that is what Brad Underwood is looking for.
You cannot question the fight in the man. Dog on this one, boy.
That was a pretty fun play.
They were all over the place, weren't they?
It was like a bowling ball. Went in and knocked over a bunch of pins. Coach liked it. I know that.
That wasn't one guy. That wasn't two guys. That was multiple players on the floor for a loose ball. And those are the plays that you do when you're unselfish and you're committed to winning. And those are the type of plays that we've been striving for some time. And then, it's like I told Trent, that's pretty fun, isn't it, to go to the line at the end of the game and make free throws. And so I'm really proud. I'm excited for our players because they persevered through some tough things, and they've kept working. They've kept their head down and just kept working. And then today, what an incredible crowd!
Oh, yeah.
This is what makes Illinois so special. Illinois basketball is an elite program, and the Illini fans, the Illini Nation, are absolutely the best, and the Orange Crush back here was phenomenal. So thank you so much for that, and I'm happy for our guys.
Sellout crowd watched it yesterday, the Illini win over Nebraska, 72-66. All right, we'll recap some of the other Illini sports action from the weekend. Lauren and I will talk maybe some recruiting news. We can get into that a little bit. And whatever else is on your mind today, we've got the Olympics straight ahead as well. Catherine Reuter will join us a little after 10 o'clock for about 10 minutes. Open line the rest of the way on that. On a penny for your thoughts, Michael Kaiser with news headlines up next here on DWS on a Monday.
A penny for your thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate, Monday morning quarterbacking, as we do throughout the football and basketball season. The Big Ten basketball season ending a week early, as you know, a regular season because of the Big Ten tournament. So that will start next Wednesday in New York City. Illinois, by the way, with that win, moves slightly ahead of Rutgers and Iowa in the standings.
Minnesota's the fourth one,
yep.
Right? I mean, those four right now would have to play the first day.
That's right. And then Nebraska, the reason that loss was costly for Nebraska, not only for their overall, they don't have any quality wins, I guess, per se, is what people
say.
Yeah,
I want to talk to you about that, by the way.
The problem they're having is they're tied with Michigan now for the fourth spot because Michigan beat Ohio State yesterday.
Well, there's games to play, and they got a big game against Penn State, which will now mean an awful lot to Penn State. Don't give up on Penn State getting in. They could still get in. But right now, I mean, that loss to Purdue hurts. But I want to ask, you said that they hadn't played quality, and you're right. But when I look at these quadrants, for instance, quadrant one, you have the top 50 schools on neutral court. How do you judge that? How does RPI, if you're taking RPI as a judgment for, aren't you having bad information to begin with? RPIs are not consistent.
I know. They keep kind of tweaking what they're looking at.
Yeah, well, here's quadrant one. You got it's a home win against the top 30 teams. Then it's a neutral court win against the top 50 teams. But in a way, it's the top 75 teams. So if you beat number 75, you've got a quadrant one win if you beat them at their place. This is confusing, and it's especially confusing is how do you determine what the 75th team is in the first place? And the other complaint I got is that Once upon a time, we used to put more emphasis on the last 10 games than the first 10. Mm-hmm. And now we dropped that. So a game in December means the same as a game in February. And I think you should put more emphasis in February, shouldn't you? I mean, teams change so much.
That's right. Even as Illinois has struggled this year, the team that played in November is a lot different than the one that plays now, I think.
If you play Notre Dame, you play them without their best player. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a different game? I mean, shouldn't you have a different rating on that? And Minnesota is such a different team. Minnesota was they were the number two ranked team in the Big Ten at one time. Remember that?
I remember that.
Right in the beginning.
Right. Then they lost all
their
guys.
Well, they're not the same now. Why do we consider them the same?
Mm-hmm. And what do you do with Missouri if they get Porter back?
Oh, boy. If they get Porter back, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, do they still figure in, though, like your last 10 games?
No.
They don't do any of that?
They announced that those games don't matter any more than a conference game.
Okay.
And the conference games, they just take your entire season and put it up on the board and a game back. And that's my big complaint here is finding out how they're doing this. First of all, they're dealing with the quadrants, which are shaky to begin with, because bad information in is bad information out.
Right.
And I just don't know. I don't know if there's any perfect way to pick it. You know, the 68 teams. There's just no perfect way. I mean, but by the same token, if you're picked toward the bottom, you're probably not going to win it anyway.
Well, and you've got, you know, all these teams are scheduling based on what the committee's telling them they need to do to put themselves in, so you get a log jam, which is why you have all these things that flash on your screen with RPI and what they've been doing and who they've played and bad losses and good losses, because everybody's scheduling to try to get into that, fit the criteria.
Yeah. I mean, so, we think everybody's scheduling that way, but evidently Nebraska isn't. Well, of course, they've lost some games they shouldn't. You know, they lost by 20-plus to St. John. They've lost games to Central Florida. Nebraska hasn't done enough, and yet their Big Ten record is mighty good.
Yeah, yeah.
They won six in a row going into this game with Illinois.
That's right.
This game with Illinois is a blow to them. It's a tremendous blow.
It hurts them quite bad.
Yeah,
quite bad.
I would say it almost knocks them out.
Unless they do something from here on out a little better and make a run in the tournament.
They'd have to go a long way in the tournament.
All right. Hey, Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. I have a comment on yesterday's game. I was really proud of the Illini. I have been all season at their scrappiness. But I thought that Aaron Jordan, he had the same number of rebounds as Black and Nichols. And I think he's only 6'5". I'm not sure. And I thought that was a big factor in the win. And then in addition to the comment on yesterday's game, I have some questions that maybe you guys can answer. I know we lost to UNLV and Wake Forest by 7 points, and we lost to New Mexico State by 5. And I don't know, how are those three teams doing? Are they, we were in the ball game against all of them, and, you know, we lost three Big Ten teams in overtime, and I don't know, you know, we beat Missouri, we beat Grand Canyon. Are those two teams, is Missouri doing really well?
Well, they're on the border being in the NCAA tournament, if you're asking about that. Mm-hmm. They've done well enough to qualify, and the SEC is really strong this year. Grand Canyon is about on the same level with New Mexico State, but New Mexico State's hit a little bit of a skid here.
Okay.
Wake Forest is not a good team, no.
Okay. And then UNLV?
I'd have to look up UNLV's record. You know
what? Yeah, I'm doing that right now. I'm trying to find the standings for that conference.
It says
New Mexico State is leading at 9-2 for the men's basketball. Right.
New Mexico State's 9-2.
Yeah,
in their conference.
Grand Canyon's a little further down at 6-5.
Okay.
And then you were asking about UNLV also, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'd have to look that one up.
Well, and the point I was trying to make is that we've been blown out a couple times. Penn State and Wisconsin kind of knocked us off, but there are so many games that are decided by 10 points or less that. I just wondered if the other teams that we beat barely, or like Grand Canyon in Missouri, and the other teams that we lost to, how well are they their seasons going? So, and I don't have that information, and you guys do.
Right. Well, it's a great team. There's not, you know, I have to look up their record, but I know they're not doing great.
Okay.
So.
And I have one other comment. I went to a game, and I was, the chief was present. I know you guys are probably tired of the chief, but there were three college-age gals sitting in front of me, and I actually yelled chief when everybody else did. And one of the gals said, racist. And my response was, racist with a question mark. And so I don't know. I've been a fan for a long time, and my mom and dad both met at the U of I. They graduated in the late 40s, and they loved the chief. And it's just it's something that's inherent in my character to like the chief. So I don't know.
Well, don't apologize for it, and the people that don't like the chief, that's their thing, and the people that like it, you know, neither side is ever going to be able to understand each other. It's like I watched 60 Minutes yesterday when they had a bunch of Democrats and Republicans on to discuss issues, and one side can't understand the other. And
right.
That's just the way it is.
Well, and there are certain issues that neither side's going to, you're not going to convince that group to be on your side, and you're not convinced them to be on your, you know, the other side. Mm-hmm. So it's.
I think a lot of chief supporters have a heartfelt feeling that way, and they, I don't know, I don't see anything wrong with it. But I also, if you are strongly the other way, I don't see anything wrong with that either. I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Very good, Jim. By the way, UNLV is in fourth place in the Mountain West.
So they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, 8-6, 19-8, but Nevada leads the conference. Boise State second.
By the way, that New Mexico State conference is terrible. They're really weak.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Uh-huh. All right. Speaking of the chief, people, it says here, got an email. People should go to the website for the United States Golf Association, USGA, and look at the merchandise being sold there for this year's U.S. Open to be held at Shinnecock Hills. The logo for that club is what appears to be a Native American wearing a full headdress. If you don't read the words, you'd probably think it was the chief. Obviously, the USGA does not feel having the tournament there with that logo on all the open merchandise is offensive. The USGA will sell over $30 million of merchandise with that logo. And he says, Robert says, heads will be exploding all over campus when people see cap shirts, wind shirts, etc. with that logo. I can't wait to receive my cap, which the USGA sends to all its members. So there you go.
You know about Chief Wahoo?
Yes.
Cleveland is going to get the All-Star game next year because they've dropped Chief Wahoo after this year.
After this year.
That's the deal.
That's right. Also, a text from Bill. He says, not big on the numbering position thing, but Illinois doesn't have a 5 or 4, and maybe not even a true 3. Most of our guys are 2.5s.
Well,
not sure what Black and Finke are. It doesn't really matter, except the point is we are small and slow. That's from Bill.
Yeah, in my mind, don't you think that Black is a 4?
Oh, at least, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've always considered him a 4. Mm-hmm. And I think that what you have is basically 2 4s out there with Kipper Nichols, although the great thing about Kipper is he can shoot. I mean, he gives you a lot when he's on, because those baskets he made are key baskets. He's had some really good moments. It's just that he's not consistent, and that's the problem with the Illini.
We're at 9:48. We stand at 52 degrees. Let's go back to the phones here on a Monday morning quarterback show. Good morning to Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Going back to the coach of the year, I'm going to put in one plug for Pat Chambers for something that Lauren has hit on here recently, that Pat Chambers with Penn State has 5 scorers on the floor. And he was able to do that because he went into Philadelphia and got some really good players. But when you have 5 scorers on the floor, you have a chance to win those games. If you run your offense and the right guy gets open and takes the shot, you're going to have a chance to score. In the game Michigan State had, where they were down 27, My daughter and husband-in-law and grandson live in East Lansing, and I said, I'm going to see what's going on here. They had, in that game, they had six scorers in the game. The one sub off the bench, McQuaid, had 6 points. All the rest of the starters had the balanced scoring with Michigan State, and nobody else on that team scored. And they had some people that we've seen Michigan State use that didn't score. So it looks like Izzo has his top five and a sub, six players who can make it happen when they have to. And they were down 27. They were out of the game, and all of a sudden everybody gets together and they get it going again.
Let me tell you something. There was one in that game for him. One thing and one thing only. It wasn't offense. It was an incredible, suffocating defense the entire second half. Northwestern couldn't get a shot.
Yes.
I mean, Michigan State won the game with 65 points.
Right.
They held them, I think, to 11 in the second half. Was that it?
Right.
I think it was
11. It was 11. Yeah, 11. And I sent a message to my son-in-law. I said they were within 2 points of having Northwestern score in single digits in the second half.
Yeah, well, the game three is all that did it. I mean, Northwestern was in single digits till a guy hit a late three.
Exactly. And yesterday we had the best half. We had 7 3-pointers in the first half, and I think we had 41 points maybe in our game, and everything was clicking. Well, when you come back out in the second half, it was a whole different group of guys, and we went 10 minutes with 3 field goals and a free throw in the second half before we finally got going again and pulled it out at the end. But that it runs in streaks. But when we had balanced scoring yesterday with Mark Smith coming in and getting some, Aaron Jordan getting some, and then Trent Frazier had 12 points, which is about where he should average if you're going to have a normal scoring rotation. You don't have to have one guy. Now LaRon did it yesterday with 28 points. Well, we couldn't have done it without him. But everybody else played their part, and we won the game. And so I'm going to go back to the original thing. Pat Chambers had put together 5 players that all score, and that seems to be a key. And our best games with the Illini, the 89 team and the 05 team, we had 5 players who could score, and you'd have one sub or 2 subs off the bench. And you can do it with that if everybody scores. So thanks for taking my call.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. By the way, 3-point shooting. Illinois started 7 of 9, went 0 for 9, and then 2 of 2.
Yep.
Is how they finished for the ball game.
But, you know, back to Pat Chambers, I think, for me, I think Penn State's underachieved. Now, that's my feeling. I think they should be better. I think their record should be better. I give him credit for recruiting. I think he's got good players, but I don't think they're taking the – I mean, if they don't make the tournament, that's just – that tells you all you need to know.
Well, Penn State right now is 19-10 and 9-7.
And when they were on the bubble with Lenardi yesterday and they lost, so they didn't gain anything, obviously, right. Although you don't lose much in losing to a team like Purdue, do you?
At Purdue, not particularly, no. All right, if you have a auto repair you need, Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair, glad to help out. A full-service collision repair facility. They know having a car accident is a serious matter. 18 years in business, they've repaired 23,000 vehicles. Dave and Bill, they know the repair business inside and out. So here's what you do. If you have an accident, obviously take care of the insurance, exchanging the insurance information. And then just get the keys to Dave and Bill, give them the keys and say, you guys take it from here. And that's what they'll do. They'll make this as painless as possible. Free estimates are always offered. Check out their conveniently and centrally located location there at the south side of I-74 between Neal and Prospect Avenues in Champaign. For more information, visit gallomiller.com. See those gentlemen there. They're hands-on in their business. They've been at it for a long time, and they're very good at it. 9:53, back with more. Penny for your thoughts. Lauren Tate and I return after this on a Monday. And by the way, that show tonight will not be at Buffalo Wild Wings. We will be in East Lansing tonight. So we will have a version of the Brad Underwood show. But if you're planning, you can go to Buffalo Wild Wings. We won't be there. But certainly just a reminder about that. Also at the Esquire News Gazette sports page with Tim Finke and his dad, Jeff Finke, over there with the News Gazette sports page at 5. We are at 9:56. Benny sent us some texts here. He's kind of all over the place here with several different things. He liked Brent Underwood's jacket yesterday. It's better than the ugly green coat Tom Izzo wears. He says, we got, what is going on with my Buckeyes? Lost twice to Penn State. Now the Buckeyes lost to that school up north. He also says, I hope the Illini play with the same gutsy performance they showed yesterday. Hope they wear their orange jerseys to East Lansing and wear them when we play Purdue. Now, they wore gray yesterday. And let's see here. It says, got a text in. It says, good win for the Illini. Happy Nebraska didn't foul Tijon Lucas late. I would have fouled him. I hate to see him in the game late.
He's having trouble.
Well, it's interesting because I think Trent and Tijon's free throw shooting percentages are fairly close, like 164 and 161.
One guy's playing with a lot of confidence, and the other guy is, don't you think? I mean, it's mentally.
At the line anyway, especially.
Well, yeah.
Tijon had several assists yesterday.
Tijon's a penetrator, and he kicks off every time. He doesn't usually try to score. If he gets on that right side, he can bank it. But I don't know. The coach seems to have and expresses it a lot of confidence in Trent, and you know maybe that carry maybe he sees it you know day after day.
Another Castle Heating and Cooling text line text says, if Matt Painter can recruit two big men, why can't our coaching staff find one or two? Line, I need a big man like Isaac Haas or Harms as well.
Well, they've had a good run of centers, and they've made a point of getting the ball to their centers, and now they've got that reputation, and they've got a culture of centers at Purdue that Illinois simply can't match. By the way, that I saw the end of the game, and the game was a toss-up with Penn State, Purdue and Penn State. And a guy by the name of Klein comes off the bench and makes his first basket of the year right in the clutch. And Eastern did the same thing. Mm-hmm. They had two players who don't score and don't hardly play who came in at a crucial time. This is how these games swing on the most unexpected things. Here these guys come in, and you got all these star players on the Penn State team. They can't get at the key basket. But two guys that come off the bench at home and hadn't scored all year scored and win the game.
I think they said when Klein went to the foul line, he had not been there since February of 17. Something like that, had not even shot a free throw. And I think he made one out of two.
That's right. He made the first one. I thought he surely missed the first one. And then if he makes the first one, he'll make the second. No, he missed the second one.
All right, in the second hour, coming up, Catherine Reuter is going to join us, of course, Centennial graduate from 2006. It was in the Olympics 8 years ago in Vancouver, just narrowly missed making the Pyeongchang team this year in the short track event. So we'll visit with her for about 10 minutes just to catch up with her and her thoughts on the Olympics, and then we'll get back to more for you. We've got the national anthem from Fergie yesterday. We'll play some of that.
You're not going to play that.
I'm not going to play all of it. I'll just give you the sample if you didn't hear it. And then we'll continue with more discussions on WDWS. Champaign-Urbana, it is 10 o'clock.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning. Welcome back to a Monday morning quarterback show. Penny for your thoughts here on News Talk 1400 DWS. We talked a lot of Illinois and Big Ten basketball in that first hour. We'll talk some other Illini sports this hour. The NBA All-Star Game, Daytona 500, was run yesterday. You may have heard about that. Some PGA news, recruiting news. We'll do all that. Of course, the Olympics continue over in South Korea. And Catherine Reuter is on the line with us, of course, from Champaign. And Catherine, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Well, great. Great to visit with you. Lauren Tate is here as well. And now you're getting ready to get on a bus, right?
Yeah, I'm up in Minnesota this weekend. My husband coaches a hockey team, and they are in, well, they're in like the consolation final of their tournament. So they were not in the top 16 to play for the championship, but they could still win the bottom bracket for their weekend. So about to go cheer them on.
So you're still sticking with the winter sports.
Yeah, and I even learned to ski. I even learned to ski over Christmas, so I'm all about the winter sports. I mean, obviously speed skating I always have been, but still, you know, still sticking with it through other sports, too.
Yeah, I know, Catherine, you visited with the guys from the News Gazette here a couple weeks ago, and I know just narrowly missing the Olympic team. You said you may or may not watch the Olympics. Have you had a chance to watch any of it?
Yeah, I've actually been watching pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. I thought that it might be kind of hard, you know, and that my feelings would be hurt and whatnot, but I'm actually really enjoying it, and I think it just goes to show, like, I love my sport. I love what I do, and I really loved my process over the last several years, so it's not, you know, I don't watch the games and think, like, oh, if only I'd won that race. You know, I watch the games, and I just think, like, man, really love my process, and it's nothing to regret, and I can clearly see all these people who have been equally committed to their process, and they're getting to go live the dream and race it out at the Olympics.
Well, Catherine, this is Lauren. When you were at the Esquire, I was kind of taken back by the number of times that you've had setbacks, injury setbacks. It's not a contact sport exactly, but what were the setbacks, and how much did that really hurt your chances of making it this year?
Yeah, I mean, the setbacks in the last 2 years were really pretty incredible. I can definitely say the comeback went nothing like I had imagined. So in 2013, I stopped skating because my hip and back injuries had just become unhealable. Like, no matter how much time I spent in rehab, I just wouldn't get better. So I stopped and started coaching. And then when I came back, I knew I would still have some hip and back pain to deal with. But I thought it would be pretty manageable, and it was manageable. But I certainly had to be very smart. I couldn't train as hard as I wanted. I could only train as hard as my back and hips would let me, and that was okay. Like, I had that under control. But then in January of 2017, I fell and I got a concussion, and it was a massive, massive concussion. I was out. I was off the ice for about 6 months. Yeah. Even when I was back on the ice, I mean, I was starting with, like, you know, hopefully I can finish 5 laps today without getting a headache, or I would get on the bike and literally only be able to be in the handlebars for 15 seconds at a time. And maybe I'd do 5 sets of 15 seconds and yeah, like, cross my fingers, like, hopefully I don't get a headache or sensitive to light and sound by the end of the day. Because if you're familiar with the concussion protocol, as soon as you have a symptom, you're back to day one of your protocol, even if, no matter how far you've built up.
Mm.
If you're having symptoms, you're not recovered, and you have to go back to stage one to let your body, like, get back to the point where you can start to push it again.
And yet, how close did you come to making it? Tenths of seconds. I mean, tell us how close it was.
It was heartbreakingly close. So we race every distance twice and then take an average of the distance, and then the overall winner gets the spot. And so in the two times we raced it, I had a first place and a fifth place. And, you know, I actually never have gone back and checked the points, but not like, you know, super closely, but I would say that a first place and a fourth place would have got me on the team.
Mm.
Because, okay. Yeah, and just in other rounds, like, the girls who were in the A final the second time were not the same girls who was in the A final the first time. So the points were very spread out. Literally just one place higher in the trials than I would have been on the team.
Catherine Reuter with us for a few minutes. We got to let her go here in just a few minutes. She's got a bus to catch. Again, her husband's team is coaching a hockey team, and they've got to get going. But, of course, if you remember, out in Vancouver, she won a silver in the 1,000-meter short track race, bronze as part of the 3,000-meter relay team. The South Koreans and the Chinese doing very well this time, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been very fun to watch. And, I mean, that's not really a surprise, the Koreans and Chinese. But just to see, you know, any athlete at any sport performing at the top of their game at the Olympics is so fun to watch. Mm-hmm.
And the Dutch dominate the long track. Why is that?
You know, really, I think the biggest reason is because it's pretty much their national sport. Mm-hmm. Everyone in Holland grows up speed skating, and there's dozens and dozens of rinks. It's a recreational sport that people do well into, you know, retirement age. Like, it's very low impact, so it's not hard on your body. It's great cardio. It's great strength building for your lower body, especially. And something about their culture, like, they embrace it as their national sport. So it's same as we embrace football or basketball, you know, like, that's what kids grow up doing. And when you have, you know, everyone in the nation knowing how to do this and loving doing it, and it creates, we're just like, we have the best football team in the entire world. They have the best speed skating team, at least on long track.
couple of quick questions for you before we let you go, Catherine. I've always wondered, Olympic athletes, we see them on TV. They do their event. They ski. They skate. What are they doing the rest of the time?
You know, a lot of it is you rely heavily on your support staff. So after a race or before a race, you need to see your athletic trainer. You probably need to talk with your coach and your sports psychologist. Afterwards, you probably need to meet with your nutritionist, get your, you know, get your snacks prepped for the day or have your recovery snacks, you know, in your bag ready to go. There's a lot, you know, there's your rehab exercises, ice baths, hot tub, like whatever you need to keep your body performing at its best. And then a lot of us, you know, have careers we like to pursue outside of our sport. When you're training hard, you can't really do much besides, you know, maybe some part-time work. But mm-hmm. I know for me, one of my next adventures in life is going to be pursuing a career in public speaking. So that's a great way for athletes, mm-hmm. again, to just have something outside of their sport that lets them kind of decompress, but also share the lessons that we learned. I mean, competing at this level under that much stress and pressure, you learn a lot. And they're not lessons that are taught in school. They're lessons that you can only learn in life. And so the opportunity to share those lessons is a unique skill set that athletes have.
And you were inspired, I know, Bonnie Blair. You were inspired by what Coach McConnell at Centennial, right? Kind of inspired you?
Yeah, Coach Mike, yeah, for sure. They both played huge roles in my, you know, deciding that really I can do this. Bonnie Blair came and did a speech at my school when I was 16, and that was kind of like, that was the time that I needed to like jump off the ledge, and she really provided some of the inspiration for me to do that. And then Coach Mike McDonald at Centennial, he has always been a mentor of mine, has become a great family friend, and to this day gives me incredible advice on how to deal with adversity and just to continue to grow that skill of mental toughness with or without sport. Like, you know, I think it's pretty common, like life throws you curveballs sometimes. And if you're not ready for that, if you don't have some of the mental skills it takes to accept that and move forward, then yeah, life can be not very fun at times. And so just having those people in my life have helped shape me to be able not only to accept, you know, my success with grace, but then also, you know, I just went through it, how to lose with grace. When life is hard, when life's not going the way you want it to go, how do you still maintain this sense of purpose and this sense of self that, you know, performance, mm-hmm. winning or losing, it can't shake you?
Sounds like you could be a motivational speaker or write a book.
Well, that's maybe what I'm going for. Yeah.
Well, Catherine, it's great to visit with you. We just wanted to have you on for a few minutes with the Winter Olympics kind of midway through, I guess, and I guess the short skating events are kind of spread out over the 2 weeks, so there's still a couple events mm-hmm. to go, right?
Yeah, there is. I think I just got an email this morning from a coach asking if I'd seen the latest round, and I haven't mm-hmm. seen it yet, so I'm going to have to go online and check it out. But yeah, no, there's, I think, one more medal round for each men and women, and I can't wait to cheer the world on.
All right. Well, Catherine, we'll let you go. Thank you for being on with us. Always good to hear from someone local. That's experienced yeah. Olympic success, and good luck to you and your husband, and go win those hockey games up there.
All right, will do. Thanks so much for having right. me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
Catherine Reuter at 10:20. There you go. Olympian here from Champaign. Of course, they got the great Olympic display out at Parkland College there.
I was really impressed with her when I heard her speak out there.
Mm-hmm. She's really, really, and I think she'll make success of whatever she goes for. All right, we have some emails and texts regarding uniforms, Penn State. Talk about the national anthem at the All-Star Game, the NBA. We'll review some of the Illini action over the weekend, baseball, softball, gymnastics, tennis, all of that straight ahead. Your phone calls, emails, and texts here on DWS, Monday Morning Quarterback. Penny for Your Thoughts continues. Monday Morning Quarterbacking, Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. Be with you tomorrow morning from East Lansing, Michigan. I head out today on a plane. They'll play at East Lansing tomorrow night at 6. Our Illini game day coverage at 4:30 tomorrow. Lauren Tate is here. You can join us on the phone, 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and email us at talk@wdws.com. Illini women lose at Northwestern yesterday, 68-61. Brandi Beasley with a season-high 21. They play at Mackey Arena against Purdue on Wednesday, looking for a Big Ten win. Illini baseball, they wound up playing at St. Louis on Sunday with a doubleheader. I guess they couldn't get out of Midway the other day, down to Beaumont, Texas, so they wound up playing in St. Louis instead. They beat South Dakota State 5-2, fell to Austin Peay 2-0. The pitching for the Illini allowed just 4 runs over 17 innings. And they'll play in Conway, South Carolina against Coastal Carolina, West Virginia, and VCU next weekend. Illini softball split 4 games with North Carolina and Pitt. They play in Carbondale in early March against Northern, Southern, and Murray State. Women's tennis now ranked 24th in the country. Now 7-1, best start for them since 1982. With a win over number 22, Washington, they'll be at the Blue-Gray Classic in Montgomery, Alabama. Men's tennis ranked 10th, beat Florida and in the ITA Indoor Championships. Lost to UCLA, beat Duke and Florida along the way. They'll be at Kentucky on Sunday. And then men's gymnastics host Michigan Saturday. Women's gymnastics beat Michigan State in East Lansing over the weekend. They'll host Missouri at Huff at 4 p.m., alumni weekend for them. And track and field also with some wins. They won 5 events. The Orange and Blue Open at the Armory over the weekend. The Illini women also competing at the Orange and Blue Open. They'll be at the Big Ten indoors coming up as the track and field season concludes there, at least at home and with the indoor part. So there you
go. That's going to be the end of the Orange and Blue. It's just too close to the Big Ten. They have to hold everybody out. And I don't think Mike Turk intends to go forward with that anymore because they're more concerned about keeping people fresh for this weekend when they're trying to do the best they can in the Big Ten indoor. And that's going to be over in Ohio.
Did you guys watch a text here? It says, did you guys watch the Kansas-West Virginia game? I did not. I don't know if Lauren did, but there were a foul discrepancy. Kansas shot a lot more free throws than West Virginia. I guess Huggy Bear was not happy.
Oh, no, I just called up the box score, and you know that, and the box score didn't have free throws in it.
Oh, is that right?
So I would have to take more time to find it. But I heard him say, and it doesn't mean that that's exactly accurate, I heard him say that I've never coached a team that only either shot or made 2 free throws. And I think that Kansas was in the 20s, but I don't know that because I heard what he said, but that was a couple of days, that was yesterday, I guess, when I heard it, and I don't remember how many free throws Kansas had, but there was a big discrepancy. I do know that.
All right, 356-9397. You can join us on the phones. We're Monday morning quarterbacking here. Whatever's on your mind in the world of sports, Lauren Tate is here to answer your questions and solve your problems. So you can come to him to get your answers. All right, the national anthem at the NBA All-Star game, and what they did was they didn't have East versus West. They had Team LeBron and Team Steph Curry. And they picked their sides, and they played. And that was, 148 to 145, something like that.
And we don't know who won. Well, one of them won.
I think Team LeBron won.
That's right.
He scored on 29 points, I think, in the win for Team LeBron.
But it's hard to know who's on which team.
I know. And I don't know if I like that or not. But anyway, the national anthem was a big story. And we won't play the whole thing. It goes 2 minutes plus. But just a sample of Fergie here singing the national anthem. I don't know what you think about this, but here it goes.
Perform the Star Spangled Banner is an acclaimed singer, songwriter, actress, and 8-time Grammy Award winner from Hacienda Heights, California, Fergie.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early what so proudly wave at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Okay, that's just a sample there. I don't know.
I never got past the last gleaming.
Okay. Okay. It's kind of a bluesy
I guess
nightclub kind of version. I don't know. I don't know why we can't all just stand together and sing the national anthem, in unison as a crowd. They used to do that all the time.
Listen, I heard that one time at Northwestern about 3 years ago when Jimmy Phillips had the flag out on the court. It's the best I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. And it was the crowd doing it.
Used to do that all the time. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact there are a lot of good acts.
We've had
a lot of great groups at the U of I. I know there's a feature in the News Gazette, the Singing Men performed. They did great. I mean, there's a lot of great groups that I always enjoy. I think they do a good job at the State Farm Center with all of that. But I don't know. There are different versions, I guess. One of the versions Marvin Gaye did back, I guess, in 1988 or 83. I can't read which it is. But his touching rhythm and blues version of the Star-Spangled Banner at that time was initially criticized, but has since gained widespread acceptance as a groundbreaking musical performance. Fans throughout the star-studded crowd reacted with a varying level of bemusement and enthusiasm. While her languid 2-plus-minute version of the song continued, although Fergie was on pitch, her tempo, musical accompaniment, and sexy delivery, it says, were not exactly typical for a sporting event for a patriotic song, and was not received well generally at Staples Center or on social media. So, anyway, just wonder what you thought of that, but that Lauren didn't like. He was grimacing the whole time. It was on. So
I told you, like fingernails on a blackboard.
Yeah. And here a text from Darren. He says, good morning. That national anthem was a record breaker. It came in second place to Carl Lewis's attempt. Carl Lewis, of course, he mangled about everything with it a few years ago. And, of course, Roseanne did her thing with it as well. So, yeah, anyway, those are just some of the thoughts on that. Don't have to talk about that. I just threw it out there for consideration. We'll go to the news here at 10:31. We're talking Illini basketball. We're talking Big Ten. We'll get into more of that. I got an email about Penn State a little bit and their issue as far as making the NCAA tournament. The Illini play tomorrow night at Michigan State at 6 o'clock. Michael Kaiser's next with news headlines on DWS. Ryan Barnhart with Lauren Tate back on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show, our final half hour. I'll broadcast live tomorrow. Penny, for your thoughts from East Lansing, Michigan. Open line tomorrow from East Lansing. From Brian in Nebraska, as we look at our email, talk at WDWS.com, the big problem for Penn State, talking about basketball, is the lack of national respect for the Big Ten. If they were in the Big 12, which is no better than the Big Ten, possibly even worse, they'd be solidly in with their record, and this discussion would be moot. Part of this relates to how skewed it is to base decisions so heavily on metrics like the RPI. Those numbers can be gamed by scheduling better, mediocre, non-conference opponents.
Isn't he right about that RPI? Isn't that a crazy way to do it?
Opponents in the 100 to 150 range as opposed to the 200-plus range. The Big 12 does this every year, and the Big 10 does not. Hurts the Big 10 and overinflates the Big 12 every year. The only thing I would quibble with a little, I think the Big 12 is a pretty good conference this
year. You bet.
I mean, there are some really good teams.
There's an advantage to having 10 teams in a league as opposed to 14 because you don't have so many bad teams.
And you're playing everybody, right?
Yeah.
Because the schedule, remember, right now there's how many teams are we playing twice? Five, I think it's you play 13 and then you've got everybody once, and then you play five teams
more, yeah,
another time, and that's 18. Right. Now it's going to go to 20. Here
it's
coming
really
up.
Out of balance. And a couple years ago, Wisconsin had all the breaks in the schedule, and they had a great team. And I don't mean to run down the team, but they also had an advantage in the schedule.
356-9397, and you can call us on that line. We've got a couple of callers here getting in. Also, a text from Bill. He says the national anthem was better than Roseanne Barr's. Yeah, we would agree with that. Also, did the Talking Illini baseball, did they win this weekend? Well, they split. And will any games be heard on the AM or FM radio station soon? If so, when and what time? Thanks a lot. Yeah, the games that they're playing, whether it's in Beaumont, Texas, they didn't get down there this time, but Conway, South Carolina, or Florida. If we can work them in, we will. We've got Scott Beatty traveling with the team until Dave Lone gets done with women's basketball.
It was just on the internet yesterday.
Yeah, and we had with the scheduling with the basketball.
Yeah, the women's basketball was on there too, you know, against men's basketball.
Right, in the middle of the day, so we've had to juggle some things. But, yes, they will be on. I don't know the schedule quite for this weekend. Scott may have that coming up, he or Jimmy Lewis, but they work on that. But, yes, we will have some on DWS. Along the way here on these weekends before they finally return home. And from Sharon, we get an email. It says, you mentioned the color of uniforms earlier. Glad to hear we are not wearing blue uniforms tomorrow. I don't know if anybody has said that we are or aren't tomorrow. We were talking about the gray uniforms they wore, and somebody suggested they wear orange to Michigan State. So I don't know what they're wearing. I guess I'll have to find out when we get on the plane. They say throw the blue uniforms away. Wear orange as much as possible, but not blue. I'd like to know the win-loss record when wearing blue.
We can
find that. I don't know what it is, but they're in the game notes every time. And a text says the free throws were 35-2.
Okay.
In the Kansas game.
Is that attempted?
I would think so. It says Kansas 30 free throws, West Virginia 2. Huggins said, I've never been part of a game like this one. He was ejected with 35 to 45 seconds left in the game.
Right.
So
I heard him say he only shot 2 free throws, so I assume that's accurate.
So those in on the text line, the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. We're at 10:39. It was raining hard earlier. It looks like it's not raining quite as hard, if it is, at 56 degrees in downtown Champaign. Bubba Watson ending a 2-year victory drought. He earned his 3rd triumph at Riviera in Los Angeles. Closed with a 2-under-69, his first victory since Riviera in 2016. Puts him in the top 50, making him eligible for the World Golf Championship next weekend in Mexico. And the number 3 car found its way to victory lane, the Daytona 500. 20 years after Dale Earnhardt's only victory, Austin Dillon grabbed the lead on the final lap and took the checkered flag.
You know, what was interesting is so many of the successful competitors this weekend, I saw them crying on TV, including Bubba, and the second place winner at Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he couldn't even get the words out. He was so upset.
Yeah, a lot of,
I mean,
lot
not
of
upset. I don't know how to say it.
Was joy, so, overcome yeah, with joy overcome, or emotion.
And, you know, and yeah, and family relationships. Mm-hmm. And of course, Bubba was just the fact that he didn't know if he'd ever win again. He'd been so down the last year.
And I guess that was Danica Patrick's last race.
Mm-hmm.
And she's dating, she's
out.
Dating Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
You're up to date on that?
Yeah.
I actually knew that.
Yeah, I knew that. And I read a story about her, you know, this is her last year of competition and how mm-hmm. she feels about it. But I did see the crash when she went out yesterday.
So she did not win a NASCAR race, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, let me look at the. I've got the article here somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was better known, you know, for other things off the court. She was involved in a lot of advertising and promotional events. But yeah, she. Let's see here, Danica Patrick, Aaron Rodgers. Her final NASCAR race captured her career. She had photojournalists embedded with her, a hunky celebrity NFL quarterback, social media buzzing, and a crumpled Chevy towed to the garage. She kissed her boyfriend and kissed her NASCAR career goodbye when she was caught up in a wreck. Her final win-loss record, 0 for 191.
191 tries and no wins, huh?
Yep. She said, I hope they remember me as a great driver and that I was a woman, and it was really cool to watch and be there for. She finished 35th on Sunday. So that was at the Daytona 500. All right, the other texture was way wrong. Only blue unis should be worn except on special occasions. Then it should be orange. That's from Dan. Talking about uniforms. Of course, the Illini, what, they have blue, white, orange, and gray. They wore the gray. You, do you like the grays?
I can honestly tell you that I don't know the color that they ever wore for any game. I just don't pay any attention to it. It doesn't record with me. It's like when Steve Kelly memorized all the numbers. I don't know anybody's number. I know what they look like, and that's, I just don't know their, I don't know numbers, and I don't know colors. I'm not colorblind. I just don't care.
10:42 here at DWS, and we will continue with more Penny for Your Thoughts after this timeout. Take your phone calls, emails, and texts up to the top of the hour. Tomorrow we'll be in East Lansing. We'll come back with more after this. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate, Monday morning quarterbacking. I want to tell you about Steve and Pam Starwalt, the husband and wife team at Keller Williams. They are hands-on with you from start to finish when you're trying to buy or sell a house. Pam, by the way, if you're looking to downsize, maybe you're at a stage of life where you're thinking about that, Pam can help you with that. She just completed training, earned a certificate, makes her a senior real estate specialist. If you're maybe moving out of state, maybe you're selling your house and you're moving out of state, and that's a big change, they can help you with out-of-state referrals. They can get you lined up with people they know and in those different locations, wherever it is. So make sure you go to Steve and Pam Starwalt. The most of their business is from past customers and referrals from other customers who just really enjoyed the work, the way they handled things professionally. Both grew up in Champaign-Urbana, graduated locally. They know the area very well, so if you're moving from one side of town to the other or getting a different size house, they can help with that from start to finish. If you're wanting to sell, give them a call. If you don't know your time frame, whether it's 2 weeks, 6 months, or a year, they can provide you with a no-cost consultation. Just meet with you and kind of give you some ideas and things to think about. They're with you the entire way, the selling, home inspection, appraisal process, buying a home. the Starwald Group at Keller Williams. And it's a group. It's a husband and wife team, Steve and Pam. You can Google, just Google Steve and Pam, and they'll come up right there on the first page, or Pam and Steve. And I think when you Google Pam and Steve as opposed to Steve and Pam, you get Pam on the very top line. So check that out. Their number is 239-7156. That will roll over to Pam's cell if needed. But again, Googling might be the easiest way to go. You can find out a lot about Steve and Pam Starwald at Keller Williams, the husband and wife real estate team. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can join us. Got a text from Sue. She says, do you think number 11, Greg Eboigbedin, will become a good player? What do you think of his potential?
Question. He's got a long way to go, doesn't he? He should have been redshirted this year. Basically, I think UIC was going to redshirt him. Mm-hmm. He had originally committed to UIC and switched to Illinois. And I'd say he's got a chance only because I've seen him in practice rebound extremely well. He's a better rebounder than anybody on this Illinois team. He really is. In practice, you can see it. But can he develop into an offensive beyond a layup? I mean, can he score?
And in practice, he's got a pretty good shot. Uncontested, not
close
guarded.
In.
You know, yeah, well, even from a few feet out. I mean, he can shoot a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now in games, he's asked to do, you know, a couple of things. And that's, you know, do the pinch post and hand the ball off and get some rebounds and hustle and give LaRon or Kipper or somebody a break. That's basically what his role is.
That's right.
Right now. Let's go back to the phones. Carl joins us this morning on Monday Morning Quarterbacking. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. I wanted to mention about the national anthem debacle. I didn't hear it, but somebody I follow on Twitter who's a Fergie fan said, you know, she felt sorry for Fergie, and she said when celebrities sing, they just ought to sing the song straight. And this is a woman in her 30s, a wrestler, professional wrestler, actually. But there was another tweet by Shannon Ryan the other day where she said it really amused her when to look at an SID's face when in a post-game press conference a player uses a cuss word. Apparently somebody in Northwestern or somebody said something they shouldn't have said.
That's funny. So I've heard all the press conferences. I haven't heard anybody swear, but maybe they did, and I didn't notice it.
Yeah, because you never hear that.
It was on Saturday, I guess. Might have been Northwestern.
You mean Northwestern playing who?
Michigan State.
Michigan State game? That'd make you swear, wouldn't it?
No, it was just a post-game. She was at press conference Saturday.
Yeah, my guess is it was a Northwestern-Michigan State game, I would assume. Yeah. Since it was in Chicago.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny when she brought that up. But anyway.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. All right, anything else, Carl?
Anyway. No, that's it. Have a good trip, Brian.
All right. Hey, thanks, Carl. Yep, we'll be at East Lansing tomorrow, back home for Purdue on Thursday, and then, of course, out to Rutgers on Sunday at 2 o'clock, and then the Big Ten tournament a week from Wednesday. In New York City. Now, I guess it's going to be back in either Chicago or Indianapolis over the next 4 years, from what I'm told.
All four?
I think so, for all
four.
Well,
good. I hope I last that long.
Yeah, I hope it does, too.
I hope I last that long.
All right, so we've got the text line available. I think we've run through all the texts and emails. I believe so. I'm just glancing back over them, making sure I've got them all. And you can send those in at any point during the show. Always good for conversation pieces. We are at 10:50 here today. You had some recruiting news. You like Ramey?
Well, yeah, I saw Ramey on Thursday, and both Walker and Underwood were down there to see him in St. Louis. He plays for Webster Groves. They did lose to Vashon, but he shot 22 free throws. And I think that's all you need to know. You can't guard him. And he's strong. He's got good range. He's got good arm. He was on McKinney, the star player for Vashon, in the first quarter, man-to-man, and he looked really good defensively. He's got good foot movement. He's tough. He's an answer, to one position. I mean, he can play – he's a point guard. And I the question I have now, Brian, is how he will mesh with Dosunmu, who they're both very good at creating shots for themselves. how will they be creating shots not only for themselves but making everybody on the team better? If they mesh that way, they can be really good,
mm-hmm.
because their individual talent is, well, it's they're the number one players in each state, I think. Now, you can get an argument on that, of course, but Ramey was a player of the year in St. Louis last year as a junior, and he'll certainly be the player of the year down there again this year.
Speaking of St. Louis, there were a lot of kids from St. Louis in this weekend for football, right?
Absolutely. I was maybe two dozen. I don't know how many were here. There was over 20, and a whole bunch of them were from Trinity Catholic, which is the school that Corey Patterson coached at before he was named an assistant coach of the tight ends for Lovey.
So there were a lot of them were in. I know the football team was out at halftime,
mm-hmm.
singing the alma mater. So
Well, it's the recruiting is going full speed ahead for next year already, and we just signed the 25 players or so for this year. So, you know, it never ceases. And if Illinois can break through St. Louis right now this is interesting to me, because for years Illinois wasn't involved in St. Louis. Nor was St. Louis so loaded with talent as they are in football right now. Yeah. They're having a really good run in football talent. Maybe this year was the best ever. And basketball-wise, we're seeing that too. And I think that Jamal Walker's involvement down there, which got the Mark Smith, and he's involved with E.J. Liddell, and he's involved with Ramey, I think that he's a key guy down there because he's kept Illinois involved through two coaches here.
Right, and he played at St. Louis.
And he played at St. Louis, and Illinois is in tight with Ramey. His dad just tweeted something about thanking Illinois fans for their support of his son, and I think there's a real chance that they get him. If they do, they're just one player away from having a really great recruiting year. They need somebody up front. But DeSumo and Ramey would make a great pair of guards. They should, at least. I just don't know how they'll mesh.
And we always wondered that about Dee and Darren when they came, one from Texas and the McDonald's All-American from the state of Illinois. How would they mesh? Would they get along? Well, they did just fine.
But, you know, the thing that about those two is they were known for their assists as much as anything. I mean, they could score, but they were great assist guys. And what we're seeing with these two now is their great scores are – can they, sometimes when you go to the baskets, it's better to kick it out because there's people back there to block and reject shots.
Always remember the story Bill Self told about Bracy Wright and then Darren Williams.
Yeah.
And the high school coach telling Bill,
you
got the right guy.
Yes, sir.
And it turned out to be right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, we'll come back with more. Start to wrap it up here. We're at 10:54. We can get you in quickly at the end if you have something you want to add to the show here before we're done on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Back on A Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday morning quarterbacking here. One game in top 25 college basketball tonight, Oklahoma at Kansas. Lon Kruger, Bill Self. There you go. Richard, you're up next. Hi, Richard.
Hi there. I haven't heard anybody notice. Did nobody see the Chief dancing at halftime?
Where was he dancing at?
Well, one of the football players, as he's leaving and is playing that song, was dancing the Chief dance.
Okay.
I didn't see that.
I didn't
know. Nobody. He was getting some clapping as it is going off the floor.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, I think we need to recruit one of those four guys at the halftime that was doing that dunking of the ball.
Oh, those guys on the halftime show.
Yeah.
if we could use that springboard on our end.
Oh, they were terrific.
Oh, aren't they? Yeah, that and the Jesse White tumblers. Those guys are great. I don't know how they do that.
Well, I can't believe how high they got.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. All
right.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Yep. Great to hear from you. All right. We're at 10:57. Let's see what else. U.S. women's hockey team for the fifth time in the last six Winter Olympics will play for the gold medal. Beat Finland in the semifinals. They're trying to end Canada's 16-year hold on gold in women's hockey. They await the winner of the semifinal between Canada and Russia, known as the Olympic athletes from Russia, the ones who were not suspended for doping.
I'm kind of confused about what Russia's doing here. I guess they can send some individuals as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they haven't been caught, right? If they get caught, then does that reflect against Russia again?
And their flag is the Olympic rings, and they're under the Olympic athletes from Russia. So that's what they're competing as. and they had a curler just get nailed for a doping. Doping and curling. I don't get that. I don't know. What does that do? Does it make you do the broom faster, or what? How does that work? I don't know. Okay. Well, Lauren, it's been fun. A week from now, we'll be getting ready for the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
In New York City.
February the 28th.
Yeah.
Final day of February.
So we'll be that'll be an early start and trying to make it into March.
Well, Yelena got a shot to win that first game because they're going to be playing a team just about like themselves.
As far as the record goes, yep. And Minnesota's been struggling ever since they lost their guys. And Rutgers, of course, Illinois beat pretty soundly. They'll play them again. Could be a situation where they play Rutgers back-to-back at the end of the season and in the tournament. But we'll see how it works out. All right, that's going to wrap it up here today. Again, we'll have the News Gazette sports page tonight with the Finke gentlemen, with Tim Finke and Jeff Finke out at the Esquire. We'll have a Brad Underwood show. We will not be at Buffalo Wild Wings tonight because we'll be in East Lansing. But we will have a show for you tonight from 7 to 8, and then Illini basketball tomorrow night. Busy week ahead. Thank you, Mr. Tate.
Thank you.
We appreciate it, as always. And thanks to Catherine Reuter for being with us for a few minutes today as well. I'm Brian Barnhart. Talk to you tomorrow on Penny for Your Thoughts from East Lansing, Michigan, 9 to 11 on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Have a great Monday. Stay dry.